We're doing the Sefer HaMidot, and we're up to the second section, the section that discusses Yir'ah, being a God-fearing person. And we're up to the fifth chapter. Now we're on page Kuf Chaf Gimel, the bottom paragraph. The Magid Midovna had divided Yir'at Shamayim into different categories, and he said there's a type of Yir'ah that a person can force upon himself if he just thinks about the idea that there is a limit to his life. We all have an expiration date. And if a person really takes note of that, so then his attitude towards the material, towards the physical aspects of life, will be different. And he says, if you have someone who's bringing up their own children, so they invest a lot out of their love for their children. That's not the case if someone's raising someone else's children. When he knows that ultimately it's not his own kid. He figures, everything I'm investing here, at some point this kid is going to go back to his own parents. What am I doing all this hard work for? Because our nature is that we find it very difficult. It's loathsome to a person to work hard for other people. Once had an owner of a pizza shop wanted to go into a partnership. In conversation he said, I'm willing for you to be a silent partner, but only for so long. So I said, what do you mean? He said, the nature of partnerships is that silent partners can only last for a certain period of time. At some point you start hating them. He's sitting on the sideline, I'm doing all the hard work, and he's making half the money or a third of the money or whatever it is. It doesn't last. It can last 5 years, 10 years, at some point it explodes. So let's be intelligent in advance. And let's realize that this we can enter this business deal for only a certain amount of time. And at some point, let's end it. Let's define that at the onset. The Magen Midovna says that's the nature of the human being. It's hard for us to work when someone else is getting when someone else is really benefiting off of it. And a person doesn't benefit anything from it. Now, if a person is intelligent, then he could always view what he's getting out of it. I once went to a hardware store, Erev Pesach, a few years ago, pipe burst. I'm coming home to do Bdikas Chametz, I make the bracha, and suddenly, bam, we hear an explosion and a pipe burst. No plumber wanted to come down on Erev Pesach that night, so I had to fix it myself. So okay, I didn't even have the tools. So I went down to a hardware store, and there was only the worker there. And he spent a half hour working with me, figuring out exactly what tools I needed, what pipe I needed. And at the end of the whole thing, I said to him, you're not the boss here, right? You're not the owner. He said, right? I said, you really worked hard as though you were the owner. And he said to me, he said something very smart. He said, I know that if you're happy with what you get here, you'll come back. You'll come back. My boss makes money. I have a job. So I want to keep the customers happy because I know that at the end of the day, it means I have a job. That's a smart approach. Most of us are not that way. Most of us just think about, what do I care if he comes back? It's my boss who's making or losing the money. There's a saying that says, the boss pays the minimum he has to pay in order to keep you working, and the worker works the minimum he has to work in order not to get fired. That is the nature of people, but it shouldn't be that way. So the Magen Midovna says, when a person feels like he's not getting anything out of it, then he finds it loathsome to invest in what he's doing. But if you see something that has potential to flourish, a person thinks he'll benefit in this deal, then all the hard work is worth it. It's pleasant. Even if someone else is benefiting, if I can focus on what I'm getting out of it, then I can invest work in it. So if a person takes note and realizes that this world is something, it's fleeting, it's passing, but when a person is going to pass on to the place where he belongs, then he's going to leave this world empty. It's not going to matter whether he lived in a mansion or not. We all rot the same way in the grave. If a person thinks about it, v'katz alav ha'ayit, and a person is going to think about the world and realize that really the food of this world is like a vulture, like a vulture looks at food. If he's going to realize that he has two choices, he can realize that at the end he ends up in the grave and he's not going to take with him the material goods he got, or he could look at the ravenous approach that people have towards the material aspects of life and look at that as people behaving like vultures. He realizes then a person's being like an animal, and at the end of the day a person just leaves his wealth to others. Other people are going to inherit him. They're going to live it all down. Whatever a person works for, everything he enjoys, at the end of the day, he invests in something that others, and the prophet he's talking about, the enemy is consuming, but the idea is that ultimately he's not going to take it with him. If a person is true and realizes this on a true level, we all say it. That's what he began the chapter with. He says, if a person can attain a point where his heart is equal with his mouth, where he really thinks it, then a person will let go of the physical aspects of life and he will start loathing them. And he'll start thinking, why should I work so hard? The Talmud tells us there was a sage who was lying on his deathbed, and they told him he had a pinch of certain spice left in the cupboard. And he sighed. He was bothered by it. The Talmud says when a person is a big tzaddik, so then he tells himself, like that Amora did, he says, why did I have to work so hard to get another pinch of that spice? So you and I, we buy like there's no tomorrow, or like there's definitely going to be a tomorrow, right? We buy 10 bags of sugar, and we buy everything big. And we're always thinking that maybe I'll still get to enjoy this, that, and other thing. That's the whole idea behind the advertising of Western civilization.
You get a better bargain.
Right. Like amazing savings. It's really amazing spending. You have all these stories. Come to us and you'll save money. I won't save money. I'll spend money. But they try to convince you. You get that, you'll enjoy that. And maybe you'll also enjoy that. And maybe that too. You're not going to enjoy all of that. The great tzaddikim, they were careful to the point where if he was lying on his deathbed and they told him he had a little bit of salt left in the closet, he said, boy, I feel bad. I wasted time working to earn that salt. I could have spent that time better. I could have done a mitzvah. I could have learned Torah. That's how careful they were with their time. We're not so careful. We waste our time on all kinds of vanity and we don't care. That's part of the problem. We don't care. It's like, so what? So I'll surf the web another half hour. Big deal. It is a big deal. We were given a gift. The greatest gift we were given is time. And the question is, what do we do with that time? So he says, in order to advance in being a God-fearing person, a person has to pause and take note of the fact that the world expires. Everything that's physical is going to pass. And we are going to pass from the world. And we're not going to take that with us. And then a person is going to start looking at it differently. He's going to ask himself, do I really need that quicker laptop, that iPod, that iPhone? Really, this cell phone was perfectly fine before my neighbor got the iPhone. Then,
you have a quicker laptop and you have more time to study. It's quicker.
Right, until the quicker one comes out, right? This one only has 5 gigabytes of RAM. He has the petabyte of RAM. Huh? Well, there's always, at the end of the day, a person should advance to the point where he starts loathing wasting his time on the physical things of life. And that develops when a person starts realizing that everything here is finite, and that he has the capacity to connect to the infinite. And then even something minuscule seems like a lot. Why should I waste so much time on that? We have over here quite a few classes that are 2-minute classes. You guys notice that? We have 2 minutes in halacha, 2 minutes in we do 5 minutes of Gemara, 5 minutes of EO. I have quite a few classes that are short classes. And the idea is to help each person realize the value of 2 minutes, of 5 minutes. We've been doing a 5-minute class. Recently we advanced it to 7 minutes. on brachos. And you know what? We have 100-something classes. We finished, I don't know, 2 or 3 chapters already in Talmud brachos. You could do that. You could do that. Every minute is precious. And if a person is consistent with his 1 or 2 minutes, then he could really cover a lot of svarim. I have quite a few svarim that are 1 or 2 minutes. 2 minutes on this and 2 minutes on that. And in these chavrusas, I've finished quite a few books over the years. But it helps train a person to realize that every minute is precious.
וכל אשר אפשר לו לעמוד בלעדיו יבחן נפשו המנוחה והבטלה ולא ירים ידו לגשת אל השגתו.
Now whatever a person could really do without, a person, once he starts developing this thought, will choose, I rather rest, I rather be productive in the infinite than waste my time trying to attain that. Let me get the best deal on the iPhone. I once said to someone, you've invested 5 hours, 10 hours looking for the best deal? How much do you get paid an hour? Had you invested those 5, 10 hours in work, you would have made the whole price of the iPhone. A person has to realize that time is a very, very valuable asset. Kol shiken sheimnat etzmo mismach basagatoto. One of the bigger problems is that when a person buys the new object, it could be the iPhone or the car or anything else, he's very happy. It's like, look what I got. What happens when a person starts realizing it's finite, at the end of the day, in 2 or 3 years, there's going to be a better iPhone, there's going to be a better iPad, there's going to be a better computer. And even if there isn't going to be a better computer, is this something good for me or bad for me? Do I really need it? And then at least when he gets it, he won't be as happy about it. He won't be so thrilled. Maybe it's a tool that's useful, like you pointed out. Technology is useful, but I don't have to be so happy about it. It's not the essence, it's a tool. Because does it really matter if we expire from the world or the world expires from us? Just as if the whole world were to be destroyed and you'd be left alone in the world, you wouldn't be interested in an iPhone. There's no one to send an SMS to. By the same token, when a person has expired from the world, you also don't need the iPhone. What difference does it make if there's no world but there is a man, or there's no man and there is a world? And we all know that at the end of the day, there will not be this man. Every one of us has his expiration date. And if we'd only recognize it, he's saying that's one of the major steps to attaining a true level of being a God-fearing person.